I want to encourage you tonight, just for a few moments. Won't spend a very long time, but want to bless, hopefully be a blessing to you with the Lord's help. In considering what the Apostle Paul had to say here to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, we're going to look at chapter number 5. Chapter number 4 describes the events surrounding the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, His return in the air. I believe, as the Bible teaches, that the sequence of events will be the next event we have to look to is the bodily resurrection of the saints. And what a day that will be. I believe it will be before that time of tribulation. There's actually a large movement today to do away with that, to say that the rapture is either, you know, in the middle of the tribulation or after the tribulation, or you have some that say it never happens. And I don't believe scripturally that you can view it that way. It's not something I'm going to sit there and quibble over with somebody, but at the same time, you know, the tribulation is a time of God's wrath. And the Bible very clearly tells us that we are not appointed to wrath, but rather to salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. The time of tribulation is not for the church. It is for the nation of Israel. It's the completion of the covenant that God made with Abraham. And the fact of God said, listen, if you don't follow me, if every one of the nation of Israel doesn't follow me with their whole heart, I'm going to deal with that. There's a curse. There's judgment. And the time of tribulation is the completion of that judgment. And it ultimately results in the salvation of the Israel nation. And you see them come to the Lord Jesus Christ, recognize Him as Messiah, and what a blessing that is. And so that's chapter 4. And we then see chapter 5. He says, even though the Lord will return, as He says here in chapter 5, verse 1, He will return, and the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night, and says, thief in the night, for when they shall say peace and safety, and sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. So we are blessed with a measure of wisdom. Not certain exactly when it will take place, but knowing that it will. Not like the scoffers who say, where is His return? For since the time of Noah, He's promised to return. But we understand that He is returning. But unfortunately, or rather sadly, most Christians live today as with very little expectation of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And throughout the Gospels, we see parables spoken of, right? The master and servants, of talents being given and talents used and talents wasted. And we certainly don't want to be that unfaithful servant who takes their talent and hides it in the ground rather than using it to further the Lord's kingdom. We see here in chapter 5, verse 6, knowing all this, He makes this statement. He says, therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Yeah. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. We must recognize that at any moment, our Lord Jesus Christ could return. And I hope that it would be tonight. What a blessing it would be to experience His return, to be with Him, as the Bible says, forever, to never again be parted from Him in any sort of sense, but rather to be together with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as that, and keeping that in mind, the Bible here, Paul commands the Thessalonians to what? To what? Not sleep, but rather watch and be sober. And from chapter 6 on down, there's a variety of commands given, a variety of admonitions, exhortations. Now you look, and I'm just going to quickly go through it. He says, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober. We are not in darkness. We are not blinded to the things going on around us. We've been given a measure of wisdom. God has spoken to us through His Word. We are children of the day, as He says. And we are to what? Be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. And this is the verse that I mentioned earlier. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. To me, that's one of the best verses in understanding that time of 7 years of tribulation is an outpouring of God's wrath. You and I are not meant to be there. What a blessing that is. Goes on, it says, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. That's a good one, isn't it?
Yes.
Verse 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and every good thing give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. I want us to focus tonight on two, or rather three, of the admonitions given here in chapter number 5. Let's start in verse number 21. We are told in this day, in this age, in looking and expecting our Lord's return, there are a number of things that we should do. You know, people say, I don't know what the will of God is. Well, you know what? I've got to challenge you. If you're struggling to know the will of God, how many of these things, starting in verse number 5, going to verse number 28, are you doing now? Right? You want to know God's will? It's right here. There's no mystery surrounding it. We are to do these things. Recognize this, that as you strive with all your heart by the grace of God to do what God's word commands you, he will lead you, he will guide you into a specific, right, will for your life. I've learned that. As a young person, I would in angst over what is God's will. I remember being in Bible college, you know, and this, it was sort of a mysterious God's will. And it's wonderful. It's something to look to. I had to learn very quickly that God's expectation for me as a Christian was to simply live day by day, and he would make known unto me in his time what his will was to be. It has been something I've learned to understand even more and more. Right? People ask me, Pastor, how did you know it was the Lord's will to come to Washington? Of all places, Washington. Well, I didn't for the longest time. I just knew it was his will to serve him in Texas. And I was to do so faithfully until the day he made it very plain to me that, you know what, we're to go to Washington. I didn't sit there for months and agonize over the decision. I just, day by day, served him. Three of the things that we're to do, three of the things that we know to be the will of God, Paul instructs the Thessalonians, number one, to prove all things. We are to prove all things. As we live in this wicked age, we are to be discerning Christians. The idea of proving all things is scientific in nature, isn't it? In the sense that you look, right, and you... I like to think of geometry as a better example, right? So in geometry, there's different things. There's proofs and there's theorems, right? And proofs are used to determine different geometrical, I don't know if you have calculations. It's been a long time since I've been in that class. Right? It's different things that you know are right. There's a set number of truths. Proofs. And as Christians, we are commanded to take all things, all events, and we are to prove them how? Well, we have a set of proofs. It is the Word of God. We're to prove all things because we live in an age. We live in a day. We are surrounded. We, first of all, have a flesh. Our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If you don't take everything and challenge it with the Word of God, you will find yourself on the wrong track. Whether it be with entertainment, whether it be with choices that you make, right? My friends, how often do you take what you do the things you entertain yourself with and line it up with the Word of God and say, does it prove out? Is this right? Is this good? When it comes to teaching our children, as we preached on this morning, the blessing of raising godly children, we ought to teach our children that principle that everything we do, we look at God's Word for guidance. We prove it using God's Word. Is it honorable? Go to Philippians. Please, if you would, keep your finger there in 1 Thessalonians. Be quick tonight, I promise. Chapter 4, verse 8. The Apostle Paul says to the believers in Philippi, he says, finally, brethren, what sort of things are true? What sort of things are honest? What sort of things are just? What sort of things are pure? What sort of things are lovely? What sort of things are of good report? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The Bible sets for us a standard of what is right, a standard for what is pure, a standard for what is holy, a standard for what is lovely, a standard for what is of good report, right? A standard for that which is honest and true.
Yes.
And we ought to spend time proving those things. Does it match up with God's Word? If it doesn't, I want no part of it. The time is too short. Are you listening now? Again, think of the context in which Paul makes these admonitions. He makes them with the idea that Jesus is returning. Time is short. Mm-hmm. We were watching a documentary, a couple days ago. And it was about, it was about heart issues, heart trouble. The fact that, I don't know what to think of it. But basically, for the longest time, the medical establishment didn't like, for a couple $100 you can get a CAT scan, right? And they can look for plaque in the arteries of your heart. But they mentioned how that, how many a year, Christy, died from heart disease?
It's up to 4 million now.
Yeah, that was over like 10 years. It's like 300,000 people a year died of heart disease. A third of those died without any warning. Now, I'm a little overweight, and I'm thinking, well, I probably got some heart disease, But they said it was people that were skinny. Like, Brother Zach, it'd be someone like you. Seemingly no problems. Boom. Now, I don't know about you, but we often have the attitude that we live life like we got all the time in the world, don't we? And we're very careless with our time. We're very careless with how we act. If you knew that today was the day you were to die, that would indeed change your perspective, right? It would change what you do, wouldn't it? Brothers and sisters, you've got to recognize, and I've got to recognize, that our Lord, William, could return today. Do you recognize that? Jesus could come back tonight. Now that's exciting, isn't it? Mm-hmm. At the same time, it's sobering, isn't it? That's why we're commanded to not sleep, but be sober, to watch, and as part of that, prove all things. Be discerning. Time is of the essence. You don't have time to mess around. You don't have time to waste. I appreciate your testimony, Sister Elizabeth. Indeed, that's the truth. We ought to recognize that people, they may not have tomorrow. We may not be here tomorrow. That every opportunity is God's providence placing us in people's lives to speak to them of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, oh, that's radical, Pastor. I'll be a weirdo. It's for him. Certainly, if they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you could say, maybe you went out Wednesday night, you say, oh, I don't want to do that again. Brother Robert probably could say that. Brother DJ could say that. Man, I get tired of people cursing at me, all nasty about us giving. I'm just trying to help them. I'm not going to do that again. Hey, do you recognize that might be the opportunity that God gave that man? You never know what God may be doing. Yet the Lord could return at any moment. We must be discerning. Why? Because we have a flesh. Why? Because we see Satan in this world. Why? Because we are surrounded by this world. We live in this world, but we're not to be of it. And we must prove all things. Number two, we need to hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast to that which is good. You ever held fast to something? Emma, you ever held fast to something? No? You never grabbed onto your mama or your daddy's leg
and held on. You ever played that game? Tim, come here. Come here. You're gonna help Dad, all right? Come on over here. I want you to, well, we'll play the little game. Remember where you grab my leg, you sit on my foot? Come on, get down here. Get a hold of my leg. Hey, he's too shy, this boy. Sit down. Sit on my foot. There you go. Grab my leg. I'm going to lift you up. Woo! All right. Woo! Right? You're holding fast, aren't you, Tim? Woo! Why? Because what's going to happen? If you don't hold fast, what's going to happen? Do you want to fall off? No, not at all. Tim, when I put him on my shoulders, he hates this. This is what happens. Woo! Right? He's doing pretty good now. But we'll go hiking sometimes, and Tim, show him how you grab my hand. No, it's like this. And I'm fighting. And I tell you, we'll be hiking, and you know, he's not as chicken as he used to be. Well, boy, he'll hold fast, right? You ever had a kid do that, and they just grab you? Choking you. I think that's the idea that we're... Thank you, Timothy. Here. Yeah, see, he's holding fast. Thank you, bud. That's the idea, right? Holding fast. I'm not going to let go of that which is good because it's good and it's right and it honors God. You say, Pastor, what is the point? The point being that we're buffeted on every side to let go of that which is good and to cling to that which is less than pure, less than right. We're told, oh, it's no big deal to let your standards down and to not be as so hardline about righteousness. Hold fast to that which is good. Don't let it go. As I preached this morning, we are in the opportunity as parents. The shovel is in our hand, right? And we are planting trees that will someday provide shade to our children. Shades of righteousness as they are attacked by the immorality of this world. Hold fast to that which is good. Thirdly, we are to abstain from all appearance of evil. Do you see the opposites here? Hold fast to that which is good. And that word abstain is interesting. It's the idea of holding away, right, that which is evil. We ought to be people that such... We are known for lover. We are lovers of that which is good and that which is right. And we embrace it. And we hold to it. And we hold from us, we abstain from even that which gives the appearance of evil. Why? Again, what's all the purpose of this? Because time is short. Our Lord is returning. We don't have time to mess around. People's lives, their souls are at stake. The souls of your family, the souls of our city, right? The souls of our friends and loved ones are at stake. And we're being looked to. When you compromise your standards, your convictions, when you embraced even that which appears to be evil, you're not being sober, you're not watching, you're not serious in your walk with the Lord. Need to hold it away. Push it away. Very simple message tonight. Nothing earth-shattering, but rather a reminder, an exhortation. Number one, prove all things. So it's a process, right? Every event, every choice, every opportunity gets proven. Is it good or is it evil? Right? Then what do? When something's determined to be good, when something's determined to be of God, what are you to do with it? Hold on to it, right? Don't let go. Grab on to it. And if it's determined to be evil, what should you do? Hold it away. Abstain from it. Say, I want no part of it. Why? Because my Lord is returning. And I want Him to find me a good and faithful servant and to hear those blessed words, well done. Well done. Is that what He would say to you tonight? If the Lord returned this very evening, now, listen. If the Lord returned this very evening, tonight, listen to me, children. Andrew, you listening?
what would he say to you? Would he say, "Well done, Andrew, thou good and faithful servant"? Or would he find you holding on to that which is evil? God, help us to be the kind of servants that he wants us to be. And all of that, if you look at verse 23, all of that is part of our sanctification. Right? It's a process. Embracing that which is good, embracing that which is pure, pushing away and abstaining from that which is evil. He says in verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you," what? "Holy." Our sanctification someday will be complete, Brother DJ, when we meet him in the air. But until that day, let us proceed on that path, becoming more and more like him each and every day. Let's pray together. Father, what a blessing it is to gather this evening. I pray as we go our separate ways, Lord, that if you tarry the return of your Son, I pray that, Father, we might honor you, that we might be people who are looking and considering and proving all things by your word, and Lord, clinging, holding on tight to that which is good, and Lord, repelling, pushing away, abstaining from even that which gives the appearance of evil. Father, I pray that we would be pure, that we would be every day more and more holy, more and more like Jesus. And Lord, we sure look forward to his return. Indeed, there's even a crown promised to those who love and look forward to his appearing. And may we be recipients and may we earn that crown so we again can throw it at your feet. Bless us now, Father. Thank you for the delicious food tonight and the fellowship. And Lord, all that made it happen and brought. And I pray, Lord, that as we go our separate ways, that we might honor you. Use us in this wicked world to reach people with the gospel. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's be dismissed. Anything before we go? All right. Let's be dismissed. Oh, Sister Elizabeth, sorry.
What night was that ladies' Bible study?
The 11th. August the 11th.
6:30.
It's Tuesday night. All right. Pray for Brother DJ. He's got to go to the airport, pick up his son. He's coming back from Nicaragua. So Lord bless you, Brother DJ. I don't want to let you out. Anyone else before we go tonight? Brother Robert?
Just the Phillips. Got another bag of potatoes.
Oh, wow. That's right. Yeah. Thank you for reminding me. Sister Brother Phillips brought a bag, a 50-pound bag? Huge bag of potatoes.
There's one grocery bag left for somebody.
So there's a bag left. So if you didn't get potatoes this morning and like a bag of potatoes, take them with you. All right? Amen. Anything else? Let's be dismissed. Lord bless you.